Welcome to the One Thing Global Leadership Summit podcast. Today's podcast will be the second part of the interview with Brian Heasley.
Well, as you are saying, it struck me that the 24/7 movement out of UK is a very diverse, global, multi-nation movement. The one in Kansas City is one location. Out of one location, it becomes a source of prayer and inspiration and resources to as many nations as the Lord will take it. So we take a different approach, but we have the similar goal is to saturate the globe with day and night prayer, right? So I would like to examine with you, since I have this opportunity right now, let's compare these two things that the Lord has raised up, because in front of Jesus, this is one reality. You know, we label it differently on earth, but we're both filling up the bowl of incense that is in heaven. So the one in Kansas City is one location, a lot of teaching coming out from it, a lot of resourcing, you know, and then inspiration. So how would you describe yours if the body of Christ in the world were to interface with you? What are they coming to get from you?
That's very good. I like that. We are, I would say, equally like yourselves, very keen to resource the church. Mm-hmm. I would like to say we'd like to be a pain in the side of the church around prayer. Mm. So we are getting invites to churches, and a lot, and one of the things I think that we want to move from rooms to rhythms.
Okay.
So we want to teach churches not just to have a room for, you know, hey, we do 24/7 once a year. We pray for a whole week once a year. We want to move churches from rooms to rhythms so that they integrate rhythms of prayer into their church lives and stuff like that. So we're very much about how do we teach the church to pray, the local church? How do I empower a pastor of a church of 100 people, you know, in rural England that are trying to pray? How do I go and teach him and help him to pray? So we're developing courses that we've just developed a thing called the prayer course, which we've been running for years. And then we realized that millions of people have been using it. So we've just redone it, which is fantastic. And so we're creating resources. And I think one of the biggest things for us, Daniel, was that the disciples asked the Lord, teach us to pray. And so we'll do whatever we can to help teach people to pray, as well as not forgetting to pray ourselves, you know. So one of our big things is teaching people to pray, resourcing people to pray.
I am very intrigued by that.
Yeah.
Can you make sure you send me the link of how to get those courses to our audience?
Sure, I'd love
because
to.
Because many of them are church leaders, and some of them do not even know that there's this resource available for them.
Wow, okay. Well, and,
send me a link after this, okay? I'll put it together with a podcast so that after they listen to you, they can go away and click on the link if they want the course. Mm-hmm. And I love the word rhythm of prayer. That means that you are weaving the spirit of prayer, the culture of prayer, and the lifestyle of prayer into the life of the church.
Mm-hmm. I think a couple of things I noticed. I travel a lot, and sometimes it's easier to find a prayer room in an airport than it is in a modern day church building.
Yeah.
And that scares me.
Yeah, I know. And those prayer rooms are not filled by our people sometimes.
No, they're not.
We need to do more of those we need to demand the airport to give us a space.
Yeah. But I can sometimes find something that says prayer room in an airport. Sometimes when in a big modern church building, I can't find something that says prayer room. It's fascinating, you know, a dedicated space for night and day prayer in a prayer room. And the other thing I meet is a lot of leaders, church leaders this isn't negative. I hope this doesn't come across as negative, but it's almost like they outsource the prayer life of their church. And one of the big questions I get from leadership teams is, how do I get my church to pray? And I say, well, how are you guys praying? Are you as leaders praying? Is the leadership team or the eldership or the pastorate of your church, are they praying? And I think the minute the leaders do it, we start to see more and more people doing it. But a lot of guys said, oh, I'll just give that to the prayer coordinator. They can just sort that. They can sort the whole prayer stuff out, and I'll, you know, get on doing important church leader-y stuff. So I'm very big on church leaders learning and praying and being discipled in prayer, as well as developing rhythms of prayer in churches.
So as our audience probably come from all different continents, how do they find your regional office, or how do they get connected to you guys if they want to do something in their local church or their local community?
Well, it's simple, 247prayer.com.
Okay, and very good.
All the links on there for different nations, and we're working on getting it translated into, well, the local ones are translated, I mean, but we're working on getting the main site translated. But yeah, all of that's there online. And that's probably been one of those things, Daniel, that's really helped the spread of 24/7 prayers. God bless the internet, you know, because it's been a phenomenal tool for us to use. And, you know, I know we talk about the word viral. I feel these days gets overused, but I think prayer is going viral throughout the world. And I think God has used some of the new networks and airwaves that have been created to continue to spread prayer.
Wonderful. So let me just, we have 15 more minutes. I want to target our last two questions on the young adults. And over the last 20 years, you said yourself that you started much younger, and now you have a few more years under your belt. So have you seen a shift in terms of the way young people engage with the 24/7 model? Let's say with a 10-year increment, the first 10 years, now the second 10 years, the generation have changed. The way they consume data, information has changed. You know, the millennial that used to be the generation is now not the latest cutting edge generation. We have Generation Z that is quite different from the millennial. The millennial is actually the old guy right now, a little bit, you know, the late 30s and so. So give me your observation. You know, this movement was birthed out of a vibrant group of young people that give themselves radically to the Lord. Are you seeing some aging with the movement, with the same people that started off still carrying on? Are you seeing the newer generation, the 15-year-old to the 25-year-old, able to engage, or how are you adapting?
Mm-hmm. Well, we're trying desperately to adapt because I think it's very important, like you guys, that we continue to feed this down to a generation. However, I think some of the things we noticed, Daniel, was with our model of prayer rooms, 10 years in, and I started to realize that some people didn't know how to pray out loud. So they could spend an hour in the prayer room, paint a prayer, you know, read the Bible, meditate, light a candle, spend some time on their own. But that sense of corporate crying out, I and you guys do this so much better than we do, which is one of the things we could learn from you. But I noticed in a generation that's almost becoming more introverted.
Right.
So you start to see a greater levels of introversion. So I think there's more, we need to teach more on the power of the
crying out
and the power of speaking. You know, it says in Acts, and they all spoke together in one voice. And, you know, so it's actually teaching people the biblical necessity of crying out loud together. I think it was something we missed.
Brian, do you think honestly that the emphasis of crying out loud, shifting away from more individual contemplative introspection expression, will deter the young people from coming, because this generation is very self-conscious?
Yeah,
they don't want to look bad, they're very sensitive in their feelings and all that, you know. So comment.
I think we've got to work hard at how we do our corporate prayer meetings. We have to reclaim the prayer meeting. We mustn't let that slip. That we can't lose that on our watch.
You know, correct. So, I agree with you. You know, many churches now during worship time, I see them dimming the lights and just like didn't want people to be too aware of their own self. You know, it's a strange phenomenon for me, but the catering to the younger ones.
Yeah, I've seen that myself. And I mean, we do a lot. We do a thing called Kingdom Come as well, which is a lot in the round with the band in the middle and everyone around. And surprisingly, that's worked. That's been good as well, where it's felt a bit more together rather than stage led. You know, so everybody feels much more in the room together. And that's worked really well. You know, one of the things, Daniel, as well, is that we noticed that we see a generation that want to be high level followers. They don't necessarily want to be leaders.
And hey, that is a strange phenomenon. I need to tease that out from you. You're the first person that actually articulated that.
Yeah. High level follower. I'll go to church. I'll give my money. I'll be sold out, but I'll do my job. Please don't interfere. Don't ask me to move to China. Don't ask me to, you know, don't ask me to take on extra responsibilities. I love Jesus. I love you. I'm a follower, and I'll be a high level follower. I'll even lead a small group if you want. So you've got a lot of those. That's you know, and they're quite career orientated. So we have a lot of high level followers. And so what I mean is they're beautiful, committed people, but we don't see so many people who just want, I want, when I was young, and this isn't a couple of old guys just beating young people up. When I was young, I just wanted to be a leader. And Paul says we should desire it. And so I just wanted to be a leader. And we're not seeing so much of that. I personally don't feel we're seeing so much of that. And I would like to work out ways. I mean, we run a thing called the Vision Course for training up younger leaders. And you know, older guys, older women, we have to start taking more and more young guys with us. We have to be raising them up. But that's one level, but there's something we need to be praying that gets birthed in the heart of this generation, which is a desire to take hold of the reins of leadership, to grab hold of something and to lead with humility and authority. And I think a lot of people are happy to be led. Does that sound?
What you're saying here is so important. It's almost prophetic. In fact, I just felt that the last few minutes you were prophesying over this generation. Mm. Yeah. And I would like you actually to pray over our audience afterwards with a prophetic prayer from your heart. I can feel that you were not just talking. You were sharing a deep burden as a father. Mm. Yeah. And so I would like you to do that. But before you do that, give us a 1, 2, 3. If there's a young 20-year-old sitting in front of you and say, Brian, I do not know how to start, where to start, but I want to give my life primarily to prayer, and I could be a professional in a marketplace someday. I could be a missionary. I could be a full-time pastor. I don't know, but I want to start solid from a foundation of prayer. Give me the 1, 2, 3 advice that you will give me. I have no idea how to start and where to start.
Great. Well, my first one would be this. Ask God to break your heart. Okay, Bob Pierce, World Vision, he said, God, break my heart with what breaks yours. Ask God to break your heart. I see young generation, they want to be church, they want to kind of do this and do that. But once God gives you a heart, he breaks your heart for your nation, breaks your heart for your town, breaks your heart for your generation. That's the beginning, as a soft heart. So for me, the soft heart is so, so important. Every time I would be asked to speak about Ibiza in Spain, I would break down in tears. I could hardly stand up and preach on it because I was like, I'm not, you know what I mean? I'm a tough guy, you know what I mean? Like normal, I've got brothers and, you know, all of that. But I'd ask God to break my heart with what breaks his. And I wept over Ibiza because God wept over Ibiza. So Floyd McClung, who was from New, he used to say he saw loads of prophets come to Amsterdam and he loved them dearly. But the prophets he really took notice of were the prophets who wept. And God is looking for a generation of a soft heart. And so for me, my first would be soft heart. My second would be a dedication to devotion. Just a dedication to devotion, that you would learn just to switch the laptop off, turn the television off, set your alarm clock early, get up and sit down and plod through with Jesus, that you would delve into the book of life that he's given us, that you would cry out for your friends and that you would just say, I will do this for the rest of my life. I'll be dedicated to devotion. And even if I never see anything change, I will dedicate my life to devotion. And so soft heart, dedication to devotion. And my final one would be a willingness to say yes. To say yes. So for me, yeah. God is looking for a generation that are going to go, yes, say yes.
A willing heart.
Willing heart. And when
a
I was
broken 20, heart, yeah. Devotional heart, and a willing heart.
You've nailed it. It's a 3-point sermon right there. But yeah.
Your sermon.
It's so, but that for me, that would be it, Daniel. There's loads more I could talk about, but you get those free, right? And you'll set the world on fire.
Brian, would you pray over this generation? This is so important. Would you bless them? I believe many will benefit from your prayer when they hear it.
Father, I pray for our generation and the generations that have gone before, but this generation that is rising up. And Lord, I pray that you would raise up a generation who would have a heart that was so soft for this world. Lord, that it was so soft that it would break, it would cry like you wept over Jerusalem. I pray that you would raise up a generation that would weep. I pray you would raise up a generation that would be devoted. I pray that you would raise up a generation that would say yes. And God, I just want to speak leadership, Lord, that you would give new boldness, that you would raise up a Gideon army of young men and women who would not just want to be high-level followers, but they would be dedicated to lead, to put their heads above the parapets, to stand up and to step up and to walk into all that you have for them. So God, we cry out together, raise up a generation of leaders. A leadership generation, Lord.
Yes.
People who would not be introverted, would not step back, would not recede into the background, but that would step forward with your grace, your mercy, your peace, and your love for this broken world. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brian Heasley, the International Director of Prayer for the 24/7 Movement based out of United Kingdom. Brian, we hope to have you back another time. We need to glean from one another. This is a very crucial time.
Thank you so much for having me as well. It's really been very delightful to speak with you. And, God is on the move. And we just feel such a kindred spirit with you guys. And it's been exciting to see what God has been doing over these last 20 years. So it's an honor. And, you know, anytime, Daniel, it was just a joy to sit and chat with you for an hour.
Wonderful. Take care. God bless.
Bless you. Take care. See you.
Bye-bye.